It's a great study to consider our relationship with God and think about it, consider it, examine it, and figure out ways to make our relationship with God grow even more than it is now, being able to give God the praise and the glory. So tonight, our lesson is on giving thanks to and for God. And as I got into it, it really has lots of aspects. So we'll dive right in first with a review. I loved Twyla's beginning on this, where she mentioned three goals about our relationship with the Lord. First of all, we have to appreciate that we have a relationship with the God of the universe. It's just incredible to think about. He sends his spirit to live inside us and guide us and direct us. And that's all in addition to being able to spend eternity with him in heaven because he saved us. So our relationship is just so precious, and we want to appreciate the fact that we have a relationship with the Lord. And second, to examine that relationship and how we can grow in it and how God can use it in other people's lives. And then we want to protect it from the distractions of the world and not let it get stagnant or stale or distracted by the things that are going on around us. So we have considered the first lesson was what is necessary to be pleasing to God. And we looked at what it meant to trust God, to worship God, to listen to God, and to know God. And many of these overlap with each other because our relationship with God is intertwined. And we need to be listening so that we can be worshiping, so that we can know him. All these things come together. But on the other hand, it's like a diamond with multi-facets, and each facet shines on its own in the light. So each one of these things is a consideration of your relationship with the Lord and how it will more brilliantly shine for him. We have noted that to nurture our relationship with the Lord, we must have a relationship with the Lord. Every one of us needs to realize that she is a sinner in need of salvation from an eternal hell, and that the only means of salvation from hell is the way that God provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God was born as a man to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. And until you place your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins, you do not have a relationship with God to nurture. You are dead in your sins until you believe in Christ's payment for your penalty. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so here's where I'd like to turn to Ephesians 2:4-10, just to kind of wrap up that idea of salvation is through Christ alone. Do you have that, Reed?
I do. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them."
We're going to walk in those good works that he created because he saved us by faith, not by works. But now we are able to nurture our relationship and learn what it means to walk with him once we come to that point where we trust him for salvation. So when we are saved through faith, we come into a right relationship with God. And in God's strength and guidance, we can nurture our relationship with God. Tonight, like I said, we are going to focus on giving thanks to and for God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." One of the things I looked at talked about all the different things in the Bible that people give thanks for. But this one kind of sums it up. In everything give thanks. And we'll talk about some different things later, but it's kind of encompassing. Covers the waterfront, so to speak. So we are to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's explore that a little bit more. Let's look at Romans 8:20. Oops, sorry. Can I back up just a second? because giving thanks does not come naturally. It is not a natural virtue. And I wanted to do that before I went to Romans 8:28. I had used a book by Jerry Bridges for the study on trusting God, and he has a chapter on thanksgiving, and he says, thanksgiving is not a natural virtue. It is a fruit of the Spirit given by him. The unbeliever is not inclined to give thanks. He may welcome circumstances that are in accord with his wishes, but and complain about those that are not, but it never occurs to him in either case to give thanks. If he sees life as anything beyond chance, he may congratulate himself for his successes and blame others for his failures, but he never sees the hand of God in his life. One of the most indicting statements in the Bible about natural man is Paul's charge that although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. That's Romans 1:21. The unbeliever thinks they did it on their own or has some idea of God that if it's good, then it's probably from God, but if it's bad, then, you know, it's just one of those days. So we can't give thanks in all things. He goes on to say, thanksgiving is an admission of dependence. Through it, we recognize that in the physical realm, God gives us life and breath and everything else, Acts 17:25, and that in the spiritual realm, it is God who made us alive in Christ Jesus when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Everything we are and have, we owe to his bountiful grace. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? So all these things, as believers, we recognize they're a gift from God and they make us want to thank him. Although it can take some practice. John MacArthur said on this same issue, the world is made up of all kinds of thankless people. Some are thankless because it's just a matter of luck and there's no one to thank. Some are thankless because it's just destiny and there's no one really there. You just walk into whatever you walk into. Some are thankless toward God because if there's something good, then you ought to thank them because they worked hard, they pulled it off, and God gets no credit. Sometimes God gets a bone thrown at him in some kind of religious token expression that is really more a blasphemy than anything else because it betrays a false and hypocritical heart. So the heart which is turned from God does not recognize that all things come from God, even the ability to live and move and have our being. I'm going to say that again because I kind of stumbled over it. The heart which is turned away from God does not recognize that all things come from God, even the ability to live and move and have our being. And that was Acts 17:28. The heart which is turned away from God does not recognize that God causes all things to work together for good. That's Romans 8:28. Does somebody have that verse? Romans 8:28. Marilyn?
Okay. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
So John MacArthur in his message on 1 Thessalonians 5:18 makes a direct correlation between in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, because it's using the same word as God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So those who have a relationship with God can rest in the fact that he is working all things together for their good. They can thank God in everything, but we don't necessarily thank God for the bad thing that happened, but for the good that God can bring from it, that he is working in it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't work everything for good for everybody. It's for those in Christ Jesus. He's bringing glory for himself and good for the believer in everything he does. It specifically applies to those who are in Christ Jesus and those who have a relationship with him. So let's look a little bit more about what the Word of God says about giving thanks. I did a word search on the word thanks, and I was surprised that thanks, the concept, the different places I looked, this particular author said the concept of thanks comes up 102 times in the Old Testament And a particular word is used 72 of those times. In the New Testament, 71 times. I would have thought it would have been a whole lot more. I was really surprised. So I looked them all up and I wrote them all down and I have them all on these pages, but I'm not going to go over them all because we would be here for a long time. So we're just going to isolate a few. And I found an article by Dr. Morris of the Institute for Creation Research on the Hebrew words and his take on how thanks were given in the Old Testament. Again, I was a little surprised about how thanks in the Old Testament is different from thanks in the New Testament. We're still thanking God. They all are about thanking God. But as opposed to, you know, writing a thank you note to your friend for something they did for you, we're thanking the God of the universe. So he is more than worthy of our thanks. So you will see as I go through here that thanks and praise are often linked together. So there are two Hebrew terms translated with the word English, and this is on your note. And of course, Hebrew, I can't get it on your piece of paper, so those letters, T-O-W-D-A-H, is one of the words, and it's a guesstimate of how you pronounce it is Todah. And it's most often used with sacrificial thanksgiving offerings, like in Leviticus. Let's look at Leviticus 7. Kathy, do you have that?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of the peace offering for thanksgiving, he shall present this offering with cakes of leavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a combination to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. Now, as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving and peace offering, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning.
So, I don't know how many you have studied all the offerings in the Old Testament. Yeah, me neither. But I have a thought, and it's verified by somebody else I read over here, but that when you're given this offering, you know, here's your offering, you bring it, holy hands raised, bringing your offering. And that's kind of the concept in this word, Todah. Todah. Kind of sounds like ta-da, but Todah. You're bringing your offering of thanks to the Lord. And the Old Testament was all about bringing this offering of thanks because God was protecting them and providing for them in so many amazing circumstances. You think about the Old Testament and going through the wilderness for 40 years and walking through the sea on dry ground and all the things that God did in protecting Israel, the nation. And then he instituted this sacrificial system that they could bring their thanksgiving and their praise and their worship to the Lord. So Todah has this connection with praise and worship. It's better explained as I go on. So anyway, the other word is Yada. And it's used more frequently and is often translated praise, although it's also translated thanks. Let's look at Psalm 18, 46 to 50. Judy, do you have that?
Psalm 18?
Yeah.
Okay. 46. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who exercises vengeance for me and secures people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
So thanks in the Old Testament is highly concentrated on the nation of Israel thanking God through its offering system, through its celebrations, thanking God for all that he's done for them, and confessing that without him, they'd be toast. So it's this confession of dependence on God and thanksgiving for all he's done, and then praising him for who he is. The author goes on to say, both of these terms are built around the idea of confession as in listing or acknowledging sins committed and forgiveness granted. Both terms are used as of private as well as formal occasions, and they consistently imply vocal expression, speaking out loud, repeated communal expression as in corporate worship, and often formal celebration. And we'll look at Psalm 26:1-7. So they would get together and proclaim their thanksgiving to the Lord, and it would be a testimony to the nations around them that they were acknowledging that the only reason everybody was defeated and they walked through, they were thanking God, they were giving offerings to him for his provision. Does somebody have that Psalm 26? Myrna?
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders.
So the fact that he put this in the psalm, he is making this known as a prayer for his people that God has taken care of them. He's confessing the fact that God was the provider. God was the protector. He is giving him thanks for all of his wondrous works. And Dr. Morris goes on to say, the Hebrew word for praise, halal, is not the same as the companion word coupled with the idea of thanksgiving, but the connection in confession is always there. So as you look at the Old Testament and the Psalms, you often see thanksgiving and praise. And you're singing it. You're making it known. You're not just, because it was the nation of Israel doing it for Israel. He says, confession involves recognition of our failure to meet God's holy standards. Thanksgiving is the means whereby we acknowledge the receipt of God's forgiveness. And praise is the overt, vocal, and often public expression of that acknowledgement. So often the act of praise is expressed in singing, and Hebrew poetry uses parallel phrases to emphasize the central thought. So let's look at Psalm 30:1-12, because that's a praise and thanksgiving in that psalm. Do you have that? Do you do? Okay.
I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive, that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. Sing praise the mention of his holiness, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called, and to the Lord I pleaded for compassion. What gain is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have untied my sackcloth and encouraged me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
I will give thanks to you forever. And he recalls in this song all the things God has done to him, and that there's been ups and downs along the way, but he saw that God was faithful all the way through. So the Old Testament thanks tends to focus on the visible actions of God and sees those as evidence of obedience. If the world, if the nation is following along what God wants them to do, God blesses them and brings them through. And then even when they're not obedient, God provides and protects them, and they give thanks for that. So the Old Testament does, the thanks in the Old Testament is much focused on who God is and what he has done for the people. And you see that throughout the Old Testament use of the word thanksgiving. Then in the New Testament, thanksgiving moves for the New Testament believer to the sacrificial confession and formalized activities from the sacrificial confession and formalized activities of the nation to the personal responsibility. I'm going to start that just a little over again. The thanksgiving of the New Testament believer moves from the sacrificial confession and formalized activities of the nation to personal responsibility, agreement with Scripture, and open confession of biblical truth. The New Testament emphasizes that the individual who thanks God should be in such close agreement with God that the act of thanksgiving is in harmony with the rationale behind the thanks. Okay, so in English, your whole life is a thanksgiving back to God. Once you see that salvation that he has provided for you from an eternity in hell, and that all that he has done for you, you can't help but respond in thanksgiving with thanks to God for all that he is and all that he's done. So let's look at Romans. Oh, the New Testament word for thanks is based on the word you. Thank you. Somebody say it really loud.
Eucharisto.
Thank you. So there are several different Greek endings on this word and make it mean something from something that has happened, something that's going to happen, whether it's done by somebody individually. So you see the concordance has varying of if it's Eucharist. There you go. Eucharistia, Eucharisteo, and Eucharisto. So there's just different ways with different Greek endings on there. And it goes from thanks to thanksgiving to thanked to thanking to thankfulness to, you got the idea. So those different endings mean a little different something in Greek. But we're not going to get into that. We're just going to talk about the believers' thanksgiving to God. So first, Romans 6, 17 and 18. Judy, read it. Read it. Call her Judy.
That's okay. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
So there, what are we thanking God for? That he saved us. Yeah. So thanksgiving is done from a place of knowledge, of knowing the word of God and what God has done for you and responding to him in that. You don't necessarily want to thank God for, you want to thank him in all things, but they need to be in line with the word of God. So the next one, let's see, I think I got this on a different order on my sheet. Ephesians 1, 15 to 17. Got that?
Okay. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him.
So intercessory prayer, we can pray for one another. We can pray for wisdom. We can pray for provision. We can pray for protection for one another. We go to the Lord with our prayers, and we thank him for the believers that he's put in our life and how they are working in our lives. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers and recognizing how God has worked in your life. So we want to pray for one another with thanksgiving.
And thanks on earth.
And Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Are we there yet? Yep, we're there. Kathy, do you have that?
I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now.
Thanking God for the participation of other believers in the gospel and reaching out with the word of God and seeing people come to know him for eternity. We can thank God for everything, and he wants us to. And there are several books of the Bible, but letters in the New Testament that begin with thanks to God in remembering another believer and giving thanks for their work in people's lives. Colossians 1, 3 through 12. Judy, you have that?
Mm-hmm. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying all the Spirit, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love which you have for all saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been given in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to whose son in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. And the saints in light. And the last one?
Yep, that's it. So we give thanks for one another and seeing all that God has done in our lives. And I know that it is true for me to see how God is reaching in and using different people's lives and causing a change and a renewal of someone's life and a whole new outlook and being able to use them in other people's lives. It just causes me to want to thank God for that and see God continue at work. He's always doing something. Have you heard that song? God is up to something. At first I didn't like it because it says, he is up to something. He is up to something. God is up to something. Right now, he is up to something. He is up to something. God is up to something. Right now. And I thought, okay, already. I get it. What? And then he starts saying, he is changing someone. He is moving in a life. I mean, the song goes on to delineate different things that God is doing as you're driving down the road. I'm coming to church, listening to this song, realizing God is up to something right now, causing people to come to know him as their Savior, while I'm listening to the song going down the road. So he is always up to something. And we can thank him for that, among other things that we can thank him for. Okay, Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Got that, Marilyn?
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
So we have the opportunity to go to the great God and bring thanks to Him. He wants us to. He tells us to. It's an act of obedience. It's amazing that this something so simple and so special can be something we're supposed to do if we just keep our eyes on the prize and do it. Thank you, Lord. Dr. Morris goes on to say, obviously, the attitude of thanks is more important than the act of thanks, in that the evaluation of our hearts is something that God looks at. So if you're saying a prayer before meals and you're not meaning it, the act of doing it is not the thing that matters. It's when you're, what's in your heart. So if you fail to say a prayer at supper, but you tell them you're thankful, you kind of want to do both. But, you know, God's evaluation of our hearts has not changed since the creation. When the Old Testament prophet Samuel was surprised at God's selection of young David, God told Samuel, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Our instructions in the New Testament are the same. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we need to have that in our hearts, that attitude of prayer, that desire to recognize our dependence on Him in all things and bring thanks and glory to Him. So in reading, what are some things that might get in our way to be have a thankful heart? John MacArthur gave some things in his lesson on 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He went into some detail, and I'm not going to go into each one, but I'm going to let it tell you what robs gratitude. Doubt, doubting God, doubting His word. Selfishness, when we get so wrapped up in what we're doing. Worldliness, going off on a tangent. You're not going to be thankful if you have doubt, if you have selfishness, if you have worldliness. A critical spirit takes your focus off of thanking God for that, whatever it is you're being critical of. Impatience. That's hard. I kind of get impatient once in a while. But I need to thank God for whatever isn't happening when I want it to happen, because it's turning my heart to Him. I go back to my red light example. Every time I hit a red light, I go, "God, You want my attention," because I had to stop. And He could have made that light green. I know He could have. I could have driven right up there and gone right through that green light. But when I hit a red light, I said, "Okay, I remember You're there and You want my attention." And just thank Him or praise Him or whatever's at the moment. But red light, red light. I had a friend stand with me, and she's in a small community and they don't have any red lights. So we tried to figure out something for her, and she lives out in the country. So this is kind of an odd example, but you know what happens when the bird lets something go on your vehicle. How can that happen? There's 3 million miles of space, but it hits your vehicle. God, talk to God and say, "Thank You for that." I mean, you can figure out what your own thing is, right? That says, I have to refocus on God. But when you're out in the country, you don't have as many things. The other thing we came up with is better, probably. I should probably use this one instead, but the wildlife that goes by. If you happen to walk out just when that fox goes through your property, wow. I mean, that's God bringing you out at that moment when, I mean, unless you're growing foxes, that would be a different thing. But if the eagle flies over, right, when you're looking up, wow. Not only is God amazing that He created that eagle, but you can thank Him that He put you there to see it. So we don't want to be impatient. Then spiritual coldness. You could call it apathy. You could call it lethargy. And I think that can hit us kind of bad. He says, I use the word coldness in thinking about the lukewarm heart of the Laodiceans, which is what we just studied, or the thinking about the Ephesian church in Revelation that had lost their first love. When there's a lack of zeal for Christian service, there can be a lack of love for Christ. And Then the last one, a lack of study of the scripture. Because then you have a lack of passion in your worship, you neglect the Bible, you neglect prayer, and you will not be giving thanks. So, all these things can get in the way and distract us from giving thanks. They can. We need to protect our relationship with the Lord from doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, impatience, spiritual coldness, and lack of diligence in the Word. When we're in the Word, when we're focusing on the Lord, He will keep our hearts warm, and we will be thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done. So, if we think about people in the Bible who gave thanks, well, David is the one I kind of camped out on today, because we read a lot of Psalms. The psalmists put a lot of thanks, and it is a good place to go to be encouraged and to be thanking God, because it really says God is worthy of praise, worthy of our thanks. Another one that gave thanks, there's several, but I just picked out a few. Daniel gave thanks to God for wisdom, for visions, for provision, and he even gave thanks to God when his life was imperiled. You know, they passed the law, you shouldn't praise anybody or worship anybody or ask for anything from anybody except the ruler, and on penalty of death. And Daniel went ahead and prayed, as was his custom, 3 times a day to God, the only God, and gave him thanks. So there's another one who prayed. And finally, for example, Jesus gave thanks before breaking bread. That's where the word thanks comes up the most, is Jesus giving thanks, other than the ones we were looking at. And he gave thanks before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Father, I thank you for hearing me. He gave thanks before the Last Supper as he was breaking the bread and taking the cup to share it with his disciples before he knew he would be going out to be crucified. And he thanked God for his will in hiding things from those that we think are worldly and know what they're supposed to do, and showing these things to the babes and those that are thought of as lesser in the world. And he thanked God for that. I thank you that you choose who you will save. So those were examples of people who had prayers in the Bible. And the psalmist repeatedly calls us to give thanks to the Lord for two things, his loving kindness and his work among men. And we can always be thanking God for that, for who he is and what he's done. This particular author said, I could tell you a bunch of different ways to be thankful or to give thanks, but he suggested we look at Psalm 100. So we're going to close with Psalm 100 as a way to give thanks. Judy, you want to read that?
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
So it starts out, shout to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So it's not necessarily something we just keep to ourselves. We share it with others. Let others know we're thankful for what God has done in our lives and what God is doing. We serve the Lord with gladness. That is a way of giving thanks to him, doing all that we are doing for him with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing, doing it in that joy that only God can give. And knowing that the Lord is God, recognizing that he is who he says he is. And then it goes on to say, recognizing that it's he who has made us and not we ourselves. We don't raise ourselves up by the bootstrap and make our own way. God is the one that provides in everything. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that is so precious to remember, to thank him that he has called you, he has called me to serve Him, to thank Him for what He has given us. And then we are allowed to enter His gates with thanksgiving. He wants us to come into His presence in prayer and in praise and with thanksgiving. And we enter His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, and bless His name. It's not hard when the instructions are nice like that. He's not telling you to go out and dig a ditch. Come to Him and give Him praise. I mean, sometimes He does call you to come dig a ditch, but He is telling us here to come in His presence and give Him praise and thanksgiving. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. I don't want to minimize the fact that there are hard times to give thanks, but our focus needs to be on who God is in situations that are hard, and recognize that He is up to something right now. Just like the song says, even though we don't always see it, He is accomplishing things through those things that look like we don't want to face them. He is still accomplishing things for His glory and our good, and we can thank Him for that. So that's all I had for the evening. Any thoughts or?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
One, because of Angel's card, but when we have Bible study, one of the things we do is I open in prayer, and then the scriptures we go through, she reads, but then she closes in prayer, and I am constantly humbled by her prayers, because she's laying there often in pain, mm-hmm. or sitting there, and it's been like this for a couple years. And she starts out her prayer and prays several times through her prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for being here. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And a part of it is, for her, I think she grew up in the church, but she's really said that since she met us at Hillcrest, that's when she came to really know the Lord. And it's different for her because she says, He is with me. I'm in this pain, and this problem isn't getting better. Sometimes it seems worse, but God is here, so it's okay. And she can give thanks for that through the hard time because she doesn't go through it alone. And it's just a blessing, and it humbling reminds.
Quite an example, yeah.
Yeah. And she's not that mature of a believer. She continues to say, it's just wonderful finding out. I read the Bible, but I didn't understand it, and now it's making sense. But one of the other things, actually two things you said, I really appreciated you making the point that a lot of times our thankfulness somewhat hinges on our realization of our dependence. And I think that is so true. The more I realize how dependent I am on God for everything, the more thankful I am. But also, I think the more we read scripture and get to know God, and then the more we pray, we see God answering prayers. I had God tell me, I've been praying about something since last spring, and then as the summer went on, it was obvious it was a no. And then I got this email yesterday, I kind of felt duty in, but I got this email yesterday, and it was as if God said, no, Twyla, not August, you need to have your hip fixed, but January is when you're going to go. And I thought, that hadn't even crossed my mind, I thought it was yes or no, and He has a better plan. And I will say I thanked Him, as I realized it would not have been good had I gone to Uganda in August, but it's just beautiful to pray about something, because you can give Him thanks even for the no.
Yep.
Or the weight, or the, I don't know, God, but you do, so this is good. Take it and go with it, God. Do what you're going to do, because you're always up to something.
And He is up to something.
So thank you.
Yeah. You know, and I think it takes practice to learn, to watch, to look, and acknowledge that it's Him and not this circumstance.
Because you do, you see Him work, and
for those who don't know Angel is, she cannot walk, she cannot get in and out of bed. She cannot. She is bedfast without help. You know, and she is such a blessing. You know the word there.
And yeah, we met her at Hillcrest. She had a stroke when she was 56, so she's not that old. And it's her birthday that's Tuesday. She turned 60, but she's lived with her left side paralyzed, and often she has shooting pains, either from her foot, up her left side through her arm, or it starts up here and it goes down. And they really don't know why. And she hates the medication because it makes her foggy. But she's finally getting some other health issues straightened out. Well, the Lord has done that. So that she's going to be able to return to therapy. And physical therapy is the one thing, moving those muscles and so forth. God provides her with some relief. But there's been times she's just been up all night in pain, and yet it's precious that we get together, and she always, well, I have her do the reading, and it's just an amazing blessing. But she continues to be a challenge to me to be thankful in all things. It's a challenge for her day in and day out, and she is constantly dependent on her caregiver. She got an apartment, she got out of Hillcrest because all they wanted to do was medicate her. And she got in an apartment, and she has home health care come in twice a day, and she's getting by. But she says, it's because the Lord is with me. I'm never alone. Amen.
Amen.
So she's quite a blessing. So I'll try to maybe take a picture of her and share that with you guys sometime, because I continue to tell her that I have this group of ladies and that you are praying for her. And she just constantly says, tell them thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
An example of thankfulness.
There you go. Yeah.
In pain.
In pain. That's a challenge. You want to close us in prayer?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, indeed, it is such a blessing to have had this time in your word. Thank you for all that Marsha brought out of your word and brought to our attention. For Father God, indeed, we are a dependent people, and you intend us to be. And the blessing and delight is realizing our dependency and trusting in you for all things that we need and how things go, and waiting upon you to just guide and lead us. And Lord, use us in this life that we now have to serve you, to worship you, to witness for you, bring glory and honor to your name. So Lord, I pray that this will indeed not just be a time that we are reminded of being thankful tonight, but Lord, in the days to come, may that be impressed on our hearts. And may we indeed be a people that are thankful, praising you in all things, because Lord, we know who you are and we trust you. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for everyone you have brought. And Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray in his name.
Amen. Amen.